You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 282. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're going to talk about a couple things. We had a local tournament. Unfortunately, it was first edition, and we didn't get to go to. So we're doubly disappointed about that. But we got some results and some decks to talk about. And I'd really like to see what this number 1, 2, and 3 there. That's awesome. We have a 2E spoiler, so we'll spend some time on that. And we will both watch the episode of the animated series entitled The Ambergris Element. Ambergris Element? Anyway, we watched that. So we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's start out with, what do you want to start out with? Tournament?
Yeah, let's do the tournament, because I'm really excited to see this thing that, I mean, you don't see very often, not only a KCA symbol in the number one spot, but in the 1-2 spot.
Yeah, beat out a Terran Empire deck in the number three spot. So, yeah, awesome. Johnny won the day with... I almost said Big Fat KCA deck, but that's not what the title was. It was OTF KCA Regency 1, October 2015. So I spoke briefly with Charlie. It was at a design meeting yesterday morning, and he said that he and Johnny were duking it out for the biggest Regency 1. They're both downloading Captain's Orders and trying to get their weapons higher and higher so they can get their card draw.
Nice.
Not necessarily to fight, but, you know, the event that – The card that plays on your Regency 1, if you get the biggest weapon,
of the fleet.
You get the biggest weapons, you get extra stuff, and so they were going back and forth. That was awesome. I was doing Rocket Race stuff, and you were doing something else, so neither of us could go. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, I was really excited to go to this tournament, and it just didn't work out time-wise. It was our wedding anniversary, and an event came up that was perfect for us to go to, so we went to that. But I am excited to play in this environment.
Yes.
And to see Thomas playing Terran Empire instead of KCA, which is hilarious.
So backwards, right?
Everything's alternate.
I see three historic coming togethers in Johnny's deck and a bunch of surprise parties. So that's what it looks like he was doing for his draw engine, surprise party. Wow, historic coming together. I must have been getting that with the business, right?
Right.
I'm looking for it and I don't see it. anyway, man, it's so much to talk about this. I wish we could have gone so we could talk about what's going on here. He was playing with
Dominion War Efforts. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm looking at his mission selection. I see mirror, relocate settlers, mirror, conduct crossover operation. And so just two alpha missions, one planet, one space. So you don't know exactly which one he's going to. Interesting.
Smart.
Wow. And I tabbed over to Charlie's deck. Charlie came in second with a KCA. It's a KCA Klingon. How did he get? Oh, because he has a Klingon outpost in addition to his Klingon Empire outpost.
Right.
Charlie has two missions. He has three copies of Enlistment Drive and three copies of Military Exercises. Wow. So
I must have definitely made their deck. Their game interesting.
So Charlie was looking at using explosive decompression and pursuit just behind, which it kills X personnel, where X is the number of your universal planet missions or space missions in case of explosive decompressions. So every time you hit this, it just destroys three people. That's amazing.
Oh, ow.
So just three kills. I wonder how that worked out. I mean, because universal missions, that means you got to get out there and do them pretty quick, because anyone can steal them, especially those two. They both have Cardassian and, well, Military Exercises is Alpha Quadrant and has Romulan, Klingon, Cardassian, and Dominion. The Enlistment Drive is Mirror, but it has Federation, Klingon, and Cardassian, those three affiliations pretty much make up everything in the Mirror Quadrant right now.
Yeah.
So those are just ripe for the pickings. I wonder how many times they were stolen.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah. Well, he came in second place, so he took a bye in the first round. He got a mod loss to Johnny, and then he beat JD's Klingon deck. So, good. That's tough, man. You know, the advantage of playing with Universal Missions is you can have your skill, your skills down to just exactly what you need to solve them quickly.
Yeah.
But, man, that's rough because your opponent can just lock you out of the game by solving them in, for you, especially if they get the ones that, you know, you were shooting for. That almost makes you put your own dilemmas under your own missions just so that, you know, you can keep your opponent from attempting them.
Yeah, you have to get stuff out and play it quickly and hope that you can, you know, it affects which ones you go to strategically in the space line. So you want to be at the one that's further away from your opponent so that they can't swoop it in and steal it right away. But you also don't want to stay too far away, because if they try to take one and they hit something they can't get by, you want to be in a position to, you know, do the same thing.
He did have a copy of Defensive Measures. So that says your opponent may not attempt any of your missions with more than one affiliation icon unless they tried to see the copy. So, you know, it's unlikely that anyone else would be crazy enough to see, you know, Universal Missions, right? So they can't attempt it, but it's got a countdown of three. So, and it's not like it's a ref card. So you only get one chance at that. Yikes. That's tough.
It's daring.
Yeah, yes, certainly. All right. So it looks like Johnny took first. Charlie took second, and then Thomas took third with his Quark has some issues Terran Empire deck. Matt was playing DMZ S9, a Maquis deck, and JD was playing something called VBSS, which I just have no idea.
I believe that's his Klingon Delta Quadrant deck.
Yes, instead of DQSS, all right.
Yes. Excellent. Well, glad that we had a turnout, had a turnout without us, despite us not being able to make it, still having a tournament.
Yeah. Charlie says Matt played the first round and then dropped, so there wouldn't be a bye, as Charlie took the first round bye.
Right. All right. That explains how it evens out.
I don't see any triples action afterwards, so perhaps there was not enough. Well, it was a one-y tournament. Perhaps it was not enough time.
It's possible.
To get one in, especially if Johnny had to drop and take off, then that leaves four people for triples, which is not optimal.
Oh, yeah. That's assuming Matt came back for triples, in which case they would only have three if he didn't.
Yes, which is unfortunate. Very good. Well, we look forward to seeing crossover in other events and to see how it falls out. It would be interesting to look and see if there's been any block events recently, you know, now that TNG is off the table and you're just using
a lot of
DS9. That's going to be fun. All right. That's going to be my homework. I'm going to look into that and see what's popped over the last week or so as far as block play. Because you get, you know, very limited what you can play, especially with just one set out. All right. Shall we shift gears then?
Yeah. I'm seeing a couple of block events. Oh, these are completed events. I'm in the wrong. And it's like, so there are, of course, some upcoming. I'm not seeing any.
All right.
But we're getting towards the end of the year. So who knows? Maybe it'll pop up now that it has been released.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I mean, I know it doesn't get a lot of support from our local player base. I know that some of our players do not enjoy. So perhaps it would be interesting to find out what's missing, you know. Other than, you know, all the cards that you can possibly play with,
which is obvious.
I think that's what the main argument I've heard is, you know, I've got all these cards. I want to play with all of my cards, not just, you know, the ones that I just printed out over the last year.
Yeah.
That's pretty compelling. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting as a, you know, once in a while thing, but I agree, you know, if we're only going to do this so often and it takes such an effort to make a deck, You would think that block would reduce the effort, but it's actually, I think, more difficult because you have to try to separate out that portion from your overall collection.
Yeah, it would be certainly easier for a new player just coming in, but for someone who's been using Premier cards for 20 years now, that's tough to not bring them along, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, we're talking about second edition. Can you, is that within you?
Sure, why not? All it's right. An assassin. I like assassins.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I saw was Rom assassin. I'm thinking, I don't remember Rom assassinating anyone, but that is awesome. So it says, Rom assassin, when your opponent is about to fail a mission attempt here, you may discard an event from hand to randomly kill a personnel involved. I really don't think they would go well together, is the quote. I can't figure this out. It took me a long time to read a little bit farther and realize that Rom is not the name of the personnel. That was the affiliation.
Yeah, right. And that, I had these. Yeah, I had the opposite. It's like, don't we already have this? But we don't have the Rom version, which is actually...
So this is, Retalia, right? And we already had a non-aligned version?
There's a non-aligned Retalia, and he's a classic style assassin that bounces to hand to kill an intelligence present.
Okay, that makes sense. His former skills were 2 biology, physics, science, and 2 treachery. And we got 2 biology, intelligence, science, and 2 treachery. So no changes there. He retains a staffing icon and his cost. But instead of being non-aligned, now he's Romulan only. And instead of bouncing to hand, all you have to do is discard an event from hand to randomly kill a personnel involved. So,
but he has to be there when your opponent is failing a mission attempt.
Doesn't have to necessarily be on the surface, though. He can be on a ship as long as it's there.
That's right. It's here, not present.
Yeah. One last thing I want to check. 265 is his attributes, and that, again, has not changed. 265. Yeah. And his subtitle went from Urbane Poisoner to Chemical Agent. Sounds like he's being sprayed on the opponent.
Yes.
All right. We have no... Well, we don't have much else at all. We have no image for this. We have no card number. We have no guarantee this is going to end up in the final set or that it's going to maintain any of what I just read out. But there you go. Another 3-cost for Talia. It doesn't sound like it's changed very much as far as his mission-solving stuff or, you know, staffing or anything. He's changed to Romulan, and now he doesn't bounce. He just pitch an event. Now, remind me, when your opponent is about to fail a mission here, that's just once, right? I can only do that once. I can just pitch an event once to randomly kill somebody.
It's when or while?
This is when. While your opponent is failing a mission.
Yeah, so I think that would just have to happen once.
All right. that's fine. All right,
here we go. Oh, you're still failing. Yes, you are a failure.
You're losing. You lost. All right. Neat. So I don't know if it's going to be a theme of the next set or what, but we've got a Romulan, we've got an assassin, and he's got to be at the mission. So maybe we'll see some more ways of getting your personnel to your opponent's mission.
I was just trying to find that. I thought it was We Are Back, but it's not. It's something else. But there, I remember there being a weird Romulan event that while certain things are in play, you know, under certain circumstances, your personnel are considered to be at all of your missions or at all your opponent's missions.
Yeah, I don't see anything in a quick search. It was an event from like Necessary Evil, isn't it?
That sounds familiar. Sounds right.
Yeah. I always remember it never working the way I want it to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It always has... Yeah, I don't even see it here. It deployed now. Desperate attack, danger, forcing field studies. It always seems to, for me, every time I try to use it, my personnel would be at my opponent's missions on my turn, not my opponent's turn when I really wanted them to be.
Yeah.
But that's not what I want it to be. And everyone who's listening right now is probably yelling at their screen.
Yeah, like, oh, it's this card, and it doesn't work because you're stupid.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Well, let's. While I do a quick search for events that have Romulan in the game text, you want to have a look at, you want to start chatting about the episode that we watched?
Sure. I don't remember the title of it.
The title is The Ambergris Element.
So it's like three episodes in a row with some weird unpronounceable word in the title.
Yeah. So, Megas 2 and Territon, and now we've got Ambergris. So, according to Memory Alpha, the next episode was supposed to be The Time Trap. But according to Netflix, we jumped. The Time Trap is in temporal flux, and maybe we'll watch it next week. So we went straight to the Ambergris effect.
Well, I have to imagine that if anybody is watching along with us, that they are using the exact same method, which is Netflix, and going one at a time down the line. I really hope it's, you know, not because they bought it or otherwise found an owner of it, but you know, who knows. But this is the 12th episode of the first season, which in fact marks, since there are 22 episodes, this is the beginning of the second half of our journey through this series.
Wow, that's quite a milestone.
Which I gotta say feels already like forever.
Oh, come on. You know, I feel like if this is really the halfway point, I'm disappointed, because that means we're gonna run out sooner than, you know, we've started. I'm actually starting to enjoy these a little bit more than the first couple.
Well, and that's because A, our standards are lowering, and B, they are improving. So we're kind of meeting in the middle.
Yeah, I'll agree with both of those.
I think this one falls in line with that trend. I think it was pretty well paced, and it had an interesting story. I was a little discharged. So the basic premise is the Enterprise has reached this water planet that was previously, it hasn't always been a water planet. It used to be, you know, something Earth-like, M-class, with large land masses, but some tectonic shift or whatnot has caused it to become mostly underwater. And they want to find out, study this planet, because it's going to happen to very soon to another identical Federation planet, and they want to figure out how to stop it. And so they take a shuttle and they go out and they sploosh right in the middle of the ocean, which I thought was pretty interesting. Made me think of, in fact, several things made me think of Into Darkness while I was reading or watching this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of dumped down in the shuttle. And I was like, well, I guess that makes sense because, you know, shuttles are airtight. Why not watertight? But okay, weird. But it turns out this was a special aqua shuttle that they use specifically for the water. Which is great, except that they just kind of sit there on the surface, and then they don't ever actually submerge until they're attacked by a giant sea monster. And then they don't take off and fly away, which would have been the logical option. And instead, they try to shoot it, and then they stun some kind of sea monster dragon thing. It's stunned. Let's submerge and go study it while it's still stunned. Brilliant idea. And of course, as you would expect, it wakes up, smashes the shuttle. McCoy and Redshirt number one, who doesn't die, fall out in the water somewhere. But Kirk and Spock are very badly hurt, and they're thrown around in the shuttle as the sea monster grabs it and takes it who knows where. At which point, we get a captain's log from Scotty 5 days later. The captain and Mr. Spock have been missing for 5 days now. And we're like, whoa, okay, time jump. You know, way to cut to the chase, you know, instead of wasting a bunch of time. And they rescue the captain and Spock. They find the wreckage. For some reason, not using any kind of sensors. They just have another aqua shuttle, and they're standing on it, and they're floating around using binoculars to scan the surface of the planet. Okay. And they find the wreckage. They find Kirk and Spock, but they're face down in this guck, and they go and flip them over, and they start suffocating. And as you expect, you know, they've got little webbed hands, and they're like, oh, okay, well, that's a nice foreshadowing. Clearly they've been, you know, Mermand. And they do. They get flipped over so they can breathe. And of course, they start choking because they're not in the water anymore. They're trying to figure out what happened. And somehow, over the course of the week that they've been missing, they have been mutated to adapt to their environment. And we get another zing 48 hours later, with the captain and Mr. Spock have been in observation by Dr. McCoy for 2 days, and we still have no idea what the hell's going on. So, you know, in classic Kirk fashion, he decides we need to go down to the planet. And, you know, it was like, well, we can't, our sensors can't penetrate. We don't have the Aqua shuttle anymore because it's all banged up, you know, but we didn't detect that sea monster either. So there must be other things down there. Spock insists on going. Kirk insists on going. Spock says, well, that was overly emotional, but yes, you're right. Let's go. And they find these mer people, the Aquarians.
Sure.
Some version of Aquan people who apparently mutated from land dwellers earlier in this planet to the Aquans. And they mutated Kirk and Spock to save their lives. Actually, the young people of their race, which all the elders do not approve of, did this to save them, but they're not, you know, they wiped their memory through ways that we will not disclose at this time or ever, so that they wouldn't remember how to get here. You know, definitely, you wouldn't definitely be able to, you know, flounder your way back here, no pun intended. And sure enough, they wander in, and there's the two old guys on the council who are like, bad surface people, we will kill you, you can't be here, except we don't kill, but you can't be here. And there's the gentle female council member who's like, no, they don't have any weapons, they haven't attacked us, all they do is say nice things, can we listen to them? Maybe they have historical records and we can build a ship and be like Thermians or Termites. I don't remember, I was kind of drunk. And they're like, no, banished. But the one female follows them to go help. They get banished to the surface, and they're like going to make them suffocate, the slow death. Yeah. So they net them and then throw them ashore. But the female council member follows and then helps, tries to release them from the net, can't, goes and gets help from the scouting party who's trying to find Kirk and Spock, who are overdue to check in, gets them released, figure out how to fix everything, which is apparently from the venom of the giant dragon that attacked them to begin with. And like, oh no, we can't do that. We can't show you how to do that. That's forbidden because it's in the surface place that has now sunk. We're not allowed to go there because bad surface people things, you know, and it turns out it's not impossible to reverse the mutation that's done to them. It's just forbidden because nobody wants them to be surface people because surface people suck. But the youngins help them out, find the knowledge, capture the creature, get the venom. Kirk at some point says, no, we need more venom. No, we can't. We have to escape. It's going to kill us. And apparently that venom, he was wrong. We didn't need more venom because that was sufficient to experiment on him, turn him blue, give him scales, have a fin grow out of his back, but eventually revert back to normal. And then apparently absolutely no consideration for Vulcan physiology taken. It was like, okay, that worked. Time for you, Mr. Spock. Captain's log, supplemental.
Everything's fixed. He's the same size. It'll probably work fine.
At which point, they bring the fish people leaders up to the Enterprise to show them how wrong they were and how glorious it was. At which point, for the first time, surprisingly, but not the last, because I spent the rest of the episode thinking about how horrible it is. Tremendous violations of the Prime Directive throughout this episode. You know, bumbling into granted, they didn't know it was there. They didn't knowingly go in and say, well, there's this indigenous species, but we can totally hide amongst them. But, you know, run underwater, find these people who don't know about space travel, and that should have been like clue one when they're like, no, we're not from the surface. We're from past the surface. Keep going up. That makes it better. And we're trying to save you and these other people. Well, that makes it okay. But they, you know, they look down on the surface from the ship and they shoot phasers at the planet. and that satisfies the tectonic plates or settles them down or whatever. And now they think they can do this on the other planet they're trying to save and make buddies with these aqua people. But every single thing, like from the moment they meet those guys, it should have been like, well, I guess we're fish people because we can't talk to them anymore. We need to get out because Prime Directive reasons. And, you know, after all of Kirk's belly aching about, I can't spend my whole life in this aquarium, but we, you know, as soon as they leave that, like 3 seconds later, oh yes, but we also have these little bubblehead things that we can walk around in. And apparently we have a little energy shield that the air breathers can swim around in. Neither of those things is apparently sufficient to captain the Enterprise from the bridge. They have to stay in a fish tank in sick bay. So as I'm recounting it, it's like I felt like it was a decently paced episode and okay as I was watching it, but clearly a handful of very glaring Star Trek flaws with the overall outcome.
I think at one point I thought about the Prime Directive, but again, not until it was over and those two fish people were on the bridge and looking down. Wow, this is great technology. You guys just going around giving this away? Like, oh, yeah, there was a rule about that, wasn't there? You know, turn left and forgot about that a ways back once you turned me into a fish person. But the errors of not being able to use the scanners or the sensors at all for anything. I mean, they couldn't detect big creatures under the surface. They couldn't detect any life under the surface. I don't have a problem with them not being able to use them to search for, you know, Kirk and Spock. That doesn't follow too far for me.
I just wish they had mentioned it.
Yes. Any time where they were saying, hey, there's this big sea creature here, which apparently rocks really like to fall on top of because it happens at least twice. the episode went very quickly. It was paced really well. There was a lot of surprise moments of things that I wasn't expecting to happen. I did not expect Kirk and Spock to disappear in the first, you know, opening act. Clearly that's what the red shirt was for. you know, we need to go find Ensign Ricky. He's somewhere under the surface, but that never happened. So, I didn't hate this episode at all. I don't think there was anything I hated about this episode. There was interesting technology bits that they didn't explain at all. They just used like the shield that sent Scotty underwater. They've got a special shuttle that's different from the other shuttles that, unlike spaceships, which are designed to keep the pressure in when they go underwater, they need to get, you know, the pressure out. They got to build it backwards. You know, that's why ships don't go underwater.
Oh, you just you can just like reverse the polarity on the aquaflux and technobabble. I'm sure it'll be fine.
So they've got special shuttles that are made to do that. That's great. I like that. I like the, you know, there was a lot of things I liked. I liked there was some technology that McCoy didn't understand, but you know, once he found some background reading, he was able to figure it out. You know what this felt like? It felt like an interesting story hook for like a role-playing game. I think I've used that analogy before for other things, but you've got to go explore this planet, get some information because we need something exactly like there's something, you know, on a populated planet is happening here. And you beam down and two people disappear and they all of a sudden they're back. So we didn't lose any game time. You know, there was no real time without the captain around. So if they were players, you know, they wouldn't be missing anything. But they've got a problem. They got to stay underwater, and now we got to go meet with the locals and then have a little dialogue. And some people are on your side, some people are clearly not. And then you got to go exploring, and you got to go fight the thing. And there's monsters and space, and you know, water creatures, and you got to go through the tunnel. And it was, I thought it was a great story. I've got huge high praise for the writer for this one, who is. Scrolling down, scrolling up, can't tell. It's by Margaret Armin. Very good, Margaret. I'm going to click on your name and see what else you wrote. The Gamesters of Triskelion, The Paradise Syndrome, The Cloud Miners, and two TOS. Unfortunately, this was the second of two animated series, so we're not going to get any more. But high praise. That was very good. I really enjoyed it. I didn't like when they were swimming and they turned white. I don't know why they were white when they were swimming.
Yeah, it was a little weird, although... The animation while they were swimming very much threw me back nostalgic wise to Justice Friend, Super yep. Friends.
Yep.
I was like, it's Aquaman.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
With the wavy, kind of motion. Now, my problem with that reminds me of a problem I have with it. And when they were swimming, they weren't using their hands. They had webbed hands. That was the whole point. You use webbed hands to push yourself through the water, and they were only using them to, steer.
And they didn't take their – why not take your shoes off? Because they probably have webbed toes too.
Yeah. All right.
Put their boots behind.
No. I think this is a quality episode after last week's – I've already forgotten. Was it Mud last week? That was mostly quality.
No, the Territon incident.
Oh, all right.
That was with the tiny people.
Yeah, that was good quality too.
Yeah, that was good, well paced too. Yeah,
I think we're on a
good roll.
Yeah, we're on a run of good episodes, and I'm looking forward to watching the episode I thought we were going to watch this week, last week, which is the Time Trap, which I assume Netflix is going to queue up for us.
It is okay. The next episode in the Netflix queue.
All right, then we will watch the Time Trap next time, and. Yeah, I shouldn't have looked at that. That was weird ships that I shouldn't have been looking at.
no spoilers.
No, yeah, no spoilers. So, what did you like? What card wise did you see that that struck your fancy this time?
Well, my reflex was to go something aqua like, either the aqua shuttle or turning some people into aqua or something. But there's not really there's basically space and land. There's not really a water element to the game. So I think I would probably go something closer to, I don't know. I hate to keep falling back on dilemmas, but these are new weird problems that they keep arising. Two random people get turned into fish or you have to make nice with a new civilization.
Yeah. I think this would make a nice mission actually. The planet.
Oh yeah.
It's like something like 3x of biology, some diplomacy, or maybe if you had like 2 empathy or something, something outside of what they actually used.
Yeah.
And then.
Well,
geology? That's right, because they were looking for that'd be a weird one, exobiology and geology.
You'll see and have it link back to whatever, this is meant to save, another planet. So if you solve this, your geologic survey is worth 5 more points or something.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I like it. Very good. All right. Well, if you are one of the foolish following along with us, please send us your thoughts. We apologize if we told you we were watching one episode and we're not, but we should be watching the Time Trap. Is that what it was, the Time Trap? Is that what I said?
Yes, the Time Trap.
All right. Time Trap is next week, shot forward in the future. I think that wraps everything up, unless you have something else to talk about.
I don't. I'm just gearing up for the rocket race this weekend.
I am as well. I think we're in good shape. We've got 10 teams signed in so far, which I think we're down a team or two from last year, but that's fine. We still got a good number. All the puzzles are written. I think they're ready to go to press, and we'll just sit back and see how it goes. We'll have a full report on that next week, along with Time Trap, and perhaps we can get our hands on another spoiler for you. So those are what we're looking forward to next Monday. We'll talk to you then.
That sounds great. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I'll remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
Really? Not something underwater? I was looking for something.
I know you were way pushing for it.
Oh, no. I was wrong, man. You cannot run. You cannot hide. And you cannot defect. They are all